Mark chapter number 12, you'll find your place there, Mark chapter number 12. And if you were in here this morning, this message goes along with the morning message. And if you're here tonight, don't lie. You've been in church before, but you weren't there. Your mind just wasn't there. But this morning's message is not a prerequisite to tonight. I think it stands alone. And we'll talk about just a little bit about this morning's message in just a moment. But I think we're hurting for truth in this world today, and wanting to know who to believe and what to believe. And there are so many philosophies, even when it comes to religion, there are so many philosophies out there. People have all kinds of thinking, and boy, me and the man upstairs, we got a good thing going. We got it all figured out. And the challenge this morning was just, we just need to get in the Bible and know what the Bible says and stand where the Bible says. Come hell or high water, no matter who likes it or doesn't, no matter what society thinks, what culture thinks, whatever people are sensitive to these days, if God says it, that ought to settle it for our life. But we need to know what God says. And so we need to get into the Bible and maybe spend a little less time in other things and a little more time learning what the Bible says. So tonight we're going to talk about the importance of truth. All right, so Mark chapter number 12. Let's stand together if you found your place there. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 18. The Bible says, now let me kind of preface it a little bit. There's a crowd that's going to come to Christ, and this crowd doesn't believe in one of the basic doctrines of the Word of God, but yet they're going to try to trip up Christ in regard to this doctrine. You've experienced stuff like this. Verse 18, then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. They don't believe that after you die, you live again. That's why they're sad, you see. And they asked him, saying, Master, the blondes are going to laugh in about 30 minutes. Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife. Hope this is not online, but man, I'm glad this rule's not in effect today. And raise up seed unto his brother. I am not raising up any seed to Shane or Sean. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. Oh, I don't know why this story's funny. Death is not funny. The second took her and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the seven had her. Now, don't you think the fourth or fifth brother would have said, I don't think it's a wise thing to marry this woman. I mean, this woman's the black widow. Yeah. Something's not right here. There should have been some investigations. But anyhow, the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. Now, let's go back to the seriousness of the matter. They don't believe there's a resurrection. Christ is teaching there's a resurrection. They're trying to trip him up. Remember that thing this morning I mentioned? Well, where did Cain get a wife from? All right? Same thing here. They're going to say, well, if there's a resurrection, it's all going to be confusing. Whose wife is she going to be? Look at verse 22. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her a wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, "Ye do not do you not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures? Neither the power of God, for when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham and of the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob? He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, for there is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. In other words, when the guy is having that conversation with Christ, he didn't want the others to hear what he was saying. And so it's like he said, "Hey, Master, you're right. What you're saying there is right." And I think Jesus whispered to him and said, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." In other words, you're not far from being saved. Y'all just believe the truth of salvation. He said, when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any questions. The importance of truth. Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless the message tonight? Help us to see, this morning we saw the need for truth. Help us tonight to see the importance of truth in our life, why we need it in some particular areas. And we'll pray you'll bless. If someone here tonight is lost without Christ, I pray, God, you begin to work on their heart right now, knock at their heart's door, and show them how much you love them and want to save them. And I pray that tonight will be the night of their salvation. Bless, I pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. This morning, we looked at the title that I gave to the message this morning was "The Truth, the Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth." We answered the questions, what is truth? As Pilate asked, what is truth? And we live in a world today that believes there is no absolute truth. You believe what you want to believe. I believe what I want to believe. You have your philosophy. I have my philosophy. But we realize that God does give us absolute truth. Where is the truth? Was the second question. We realize that that truth is found in the Word of God. I can get up in the morning and I could watch a news show or listen to it on the radio, and I don't know if they're telling me the truth or not, but I know that every word in this book is true. I can listen to you. You can listen to me, and honestly, you can wonder, well, are we telling each other the truth? But if you read it in this Bible, it is truth. So what is truth? Where is truth? We talked about why do I need absolute truth, and then I left you this morning with a question, what will you do with truth? We'll either accept the truth and learn from it and live by it, or we'll reject the truth and just follow after our own traditions, our own philosophies, and so forth. Now, in our text tonight, we see a sampling of what is happening in our day today. You had religious people, the Sadducees were religious people, but you had religious people denying Bible truth. It's sad that there are so many that claim to be religious or churchy, and yet you can point blank teach them something the Word of God teaches, and they'll say, "I just don't see it that way. That's not the way I was raised. That's not the way I choose to believe it." They're choosing to reject the truth. Now, the thought about the passage here is this. You cannot deny the resurrection of the dead and still be a born-again child of God. It is impossible. You may be off on other doctrines. You may need to be corrected about certain doctrines. Maybe you need to be corrected about eternal security. Maybe you need to learn more about the doctrine of the local church, or maybe you need to learn more about the doctrine of the pastor, the under shepherd, or the deacon. You may be off about your Bible, but I tell you what, you cannot be off about the resurrection and be born again. And why? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We can only be saved because of the gospel, the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And as the Bible teaches us, he was the first fruits of them that slept. But all of us one day will be resurrected who are in Christ, will be resurrected. We're going to be raptured out of here. And thank God that, as we mentioned this morning, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's what the Bible teaches. Listen, and yet there are many today that go to church, and will have the mindset, well, we'll get to the pearly gates one day, and Peter will be there, and he's going to decide whether we were a good old boy or not, and we'll get our wings or we won't. And all of that is just man's thinking. We're not wearing wings in heaven. The Bible says, you say, well, the Bible just said we'll be as the angels, but it doesn't say we'll be angels. You will never be an angel. All right. I remember Brother Darrell Cox preaching a message one time at Brother Angel's church, at Terry Angel's church, at a Revival Fires conference, and Brother Angel's like, "Hey, listen, the Bible said that Stephen had the face of an angel. Hey, brother, if you got the face of an angel, you got a pretty good face." And Brother Terry Angel said, "Amen." I'm just giving the blonde something to chew on for an hour or so. There's so much misinformation out there. We have to decide, you know what? I want to know what the Bible says. I want to know what the Bible says. All right, so these Sadducees We're like many sitting in so-called churches today, religious but unredeemed. Now, I don't have time to completely remind you of all the message this morning, but friend, church will not get you to heaven. A religion will not get you to heaven. There is only one way to heaven, and that's trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, what the Sadducees did, I realized it, they did not have the full Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, but they did have the Old Testament. They did have the books of the law, the books of Moses, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's what they're quoting from. That's what Christ taught them from in this passage. But they just flat out denied what the Bible taught. Now, because they denied it, they tried to point out how the doctrine of the resurrection didn't make sense to them and therefore could not be true. All right, so the Bible specifically said that if you die, you will live again. They chose not to believe that, so they chose to take verses and say, you know what, we can find a way to trip this. They didn't think Jesus was a Savior. They thought it was master, teacher. They thought, hey, I bet you I can find a way to trip this soul winner up. You ever been in this type of situation? So look at verse number 19 again. They said, Master, Moses wrote unto us. So they're talking about the books of Moses, which is the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. But they're using Deuteronomy here. They said, he wrote unto us, so they're saying, they don't realize it's Jesus, the living Word, who gave this Word. But they're saying, here's what the Bible says. If a man's brother die and he leave his wife behind him, leave no children, that his brother should take his wife, raise up seed unto his brother. All right, so I'm not going to repeat all of that, but they said the second one, third one, fourth one, they all died. The seventh one died. No one ever produced children with this lady. But they said, you know, so here's the thing. You keep teaching that there's some kind of resurrection from the dead that people are going to live again. So why don't you just answer this question? If everyone that's saved is going to live again in heaven, which one of those seven are going to be her husband when they get to heaven? Now, notice that they cherry picked a verse or passage. We'll see something else here in just a moment. I'll come back to that. The simple truth is this, there's not going to be any marriage in heaven. Period. We're not going to go to heaven one day and meet back up with our spouse and be happily united forever. Are we going to know one another in heaven? Yes. But there's not going to be in heaven. We're not going to get to, that's where he says we'll be as the angels. The angels don't procreate. The angels are not married beings. And so we're not going to get to heaven one day. You say, well, how can I be married for 50 years and get to heaven? How can it be heaven if I am not married, if you will, to my spouse? These are things we don't exactly know about heaven. We don't know what the relationship's going to be like to our spouse. I think if I can know Paul in heaven, I'll know my wife in heaven. But I think we think with such human minds. And when God saw Adam, he said, it's not good that man should be alone. And God created a wife for him. But in heaven, where Christ is our all in all, I think we just cannot wrap our mind around not having the need for that companionship, if you will. Now, we like to say this. We like to say, well, we'll be united together forever. They went to heaven and they're back together forever. Yes, you understand what I'm saying? If I'm going to know Brother Richard in heaven, I want to know my wife in heaven. If I'm going to know Brother Caleb or Brother Trent, you know what I'm saying? If we're going to know even as also we're known. But the idea of we're moving back in together and I'm going to complain about this and that and hell, you know, remember it's heaven, amen? So what they're saying is that they don't know their Bible. They don't know their Bible. They think they're tripping him up. Isn't this dumb? They're trying to trip up the author. Let me say this. If the Bible teaches it, it is Bible truth, whether you and I can fully understand it or explain it. Someone may trip us up with a question, but God doesn't need our explanations in order to uphold Bible doctrine. You walk away from a house, I've never heard that before. I didn't know how to respond to them. I didn't know what to say. Hey, it's okay, Bob. God's word is still true. I can have no answer. I can have no explanation. for half of what the Bible teaches. Again, you know why? Because they're not saying, Lord, if there's a resurrection, I mean, what are we going to eat in heaven? If there's a resurrection, I mean, when is this going to take place? If there's a resurrection, I mean, so you're saying that the body goes to the grave, one day it's going to be lifted up, but as soon as we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They're not trying to actually figure this thing out. They just sat and thought of some goofy question to ask, just like you and I have run into time and again. Don't feel bad about yourself if you can't answer the one question this person has been sitting on for 6 months. They're rejecting Bible truth and they have their one little question that they're going to allow themselves to go to hell over. I can have no answer. I can have no explanation for half of what the Bible teaches. But that does not change the truth that is taught in the Word of God. Don't feel bad if some mocker trips you up about what the Bible teaches. Now, Christ explains the error of their thinking. In verse 23, they say, well, all right, so when they get to heaven, who's she going to be married to? Look at verse 24. Jesus answering said unto them, do you not therefore err? Why do they err? Why do so many err today? Because you know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. By the way, as we're teaching about the importance of truth, we're reading Bible doctrine right now. Verse 26, and as touching the dead, that they rise, and I love it, he uses the same set of books. Hey, boys, y'all want to question me about all these? Moses said that if a brother dies, that the next brother's to take that wife, and that is what the law said. He says, guys, why are y'all pointing out that, but you're not reading the rest of the story? And he says, and when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry, and as touching the dead, verse 26, that they rise. Have you not read in the book of Moses? He's going to go to Exodus. Boys, did you not read about the burning bush? Where God said, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He said, y'all do realize by that point when he said that, those guys were dead. And he said, he's not the God of the dead, verse 27, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. He said, y'all don't believe in a resurrection. Y'all don't believe that if you die, you'll live again. So what do y'all think God was? Y'all want to throw some Bible out at me? So what? And by the way, it is good when you get more and more knowledgeable of the Bible where you actually do have some Bible answers. But let's just be sure it's Bible answers coming from us. And he says, guys, y'all want to say there's no resurrection? What did God mean then when at the burning bush he said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He's not the God of dead people. He's the God of the living. So at least one of these guys began to perk up here and say, he might be right. He said, ye therefore do greatly err. To err is to miss the right way, to mistake, to wander. By definition, to err is to ramble. You ever met someone who doesn't know what they're talking about, but they just want to ramble on about what they believe the Bible teaches? Happens all the time. Now, we do need to know Bible truth. We need to know the Bible more than we need to know who posted what on Facebook. We need to know the Bible more than we need to know what they're voting in or voting out up in Washington, D.C. Hey, be a man or a woman, a boy or girl with some understanding of the times, but we are so caught up in all of this stuff, we're not spending enough time learning our Bible. We ought to grow to a point where we can get Bible answers. But I just want to say this, and we'll move on to the points. There will always be those Bible experts who don't practice what the Word of God actually teaches, but they'll have this one little argument to trip you up. You know what I do? I walk away from that house and I do what Christ said to do. He said, kick the sand off of your feet. I gave you a chance. I told you about heaven. I told you about a Savior. I gave you an opportunity to stay out of hell. You want to argue about what kind of nails they used on the cross of Calvary? Well, you know, if they had to put the nail in his hands, it says, you know, behold my hands and my feet. But if they put the nail in his hands, the weight would have pulled right through there. Correctamundo. If you know your Bible, When they put bracelets on their arms, they called those hands. Put bracelets on your hands. You put a nail right there in your hands, as they called it. It doesn't rip out. There's always a Bible answer. God is not the author of confusion, but even a pastor of 21 years, a preacher who studied the Bible for and on purpose for 25 years, can still get tripped up because they always have that one verse. Move on. Don't let it bother you. Let it bother you enough to get more into the Word of God. Say, I don't want that to happen again. I've had that happen where I thought, I'm never going to let this subject come up again that I don't have some Bible answers for it immediately. Just remember, though, you say, I just can't believe that happened to me today on soul winning. I felt like such an idiot. I've never seen that verse in the Bible. I didn't know that verse said that. You don't know if they're taking it out of context. You don't know anything because they're just pulling something out of it. But just remember, Mark chapter 12, they did the same thing to Jesus.
Right.
But Bible truth is important. Now let me get to the points here. Turn to John chapter number 4, if you would, please. John chapter number 4. We're talking about the importance of Bible truth in our life. Let me give you several areas here. Try to move quickly, but several areas. Let me show you several reasons that Bible truth is important in our life. John chapter number 4 is where we'll start. Number one is this. Truth allows us to know God and to worship Him correctly. Truth allows us to know God and to worship Him correctly. John chapter 4, verse number 19, Jesus talking to the woman at the well here. Verse 19, the woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh and now is. Listen to this. When true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Remember that phrase, in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Many, many, many today are worshiping God in the flesh and in falsehoods rather than in the spirit and in truth.
Amen.
When they sing like they did tonight, and when the lady, young lady sang as they did this morning, hey, listen, those are spiritual words. It's a spiritual message. And man, it does something to my spirit. Our spirit is that which communes with God. Our spirit was dead, and you hath He quickened, made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And when we got saved, our spirit became alive. And that is that spiritual man. That is that part of us that fellowships with God, understands the things that are spiritually discerned. And God gets a hold of our heart as the singing is taking place and the preaching. But yet today, I believe there are many people that are lost without Christ, and they're going to churches, and that's why they need the rock bands, and that's why they need the laser lights and the fog lights. They're not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. They're worshiping God in the flesh and in falsehoods. You say, but aren't they well-meaning? I think a lot of them are. They just don't know the Bible. No one's bothering to teach them. In Acts chapter 17, if you'll turn there, the Apostle Paul ran into this crowd in Acts chapter number 17. There in Athens, Greece, as we know it today, in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 16, we see Paul dealing with a group that's like this. They're trying to worship God. They just don't know how, and so they wind up worshiping false gods. Acts 17 and verse number 16, Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, What will this babbler say? Other some, he seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. That's bad. When Jesus and the resurrection are the strange doctrines. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, that's Mars Hill, saying, May we know what this new doctrine, wherever thou speakest, is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but on Facebook, either to tell or to hear some new thing. It didn't say Facebook. Then Paul stood in the midst of Marsfield and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." You know what you're reading here? A bunch of Bible doctrine. "And hath made of one blood all nations and men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being." And I'll leave off reading there and pretty much from what was happening there in that Greek culture is they had many false gods. And they had names, but they had one one altar to an unknown God, because they thought, well, if we're missing anyone, we want to appease that God too. And Paul said, the unknown God is the God, and I want to tell you about the God, and I want to tell you how to worship him, and I want to tell you he created you, and I want to tell you he gives you life and breath and all things, and I want to tell you he knows the bounds of your habitation, he knows when you're going to die, and he goes on later to say he's winking at the times of this ignorance, but right now he's commanding all men everywhere to repent. The Bible said they heard the truth, and some of them got saved. Amen. We need to know what the Bible actually teaches, because truth allows us to know God and to worship him correctly. Paul found a group worshiping God on their terms and according to what their personal beliefs were. And he took God's word and showed them the right way to worship God. There's a group of people today, a lot of people today, that showed up somewhere to some church. And last night they were getting drunk in a bar somewhere. I'm not talking about a sinner searching and looking for the answer and what's missing in his life, because we realize that Jesus, as the song says, is right for whatever's wrong in your life. But I'm talking about a crowd today that have no preacher that'll stand up and preach truth. And they, in their heart, really believe it's okay to go out to the dance hall on Saturday night. But I tell you what, man, me and God, Sunday's his, and me and God, we get together on Sunday. I'm just telling you, child, you're not going to talk about my church, because we get together on Sunday. And I think they really want to worship God, but they're worshiping him in ignorance, because Bible doctrine is not being taught. No one ever taught them that whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That the Christian life is 7 days a week. That God wants us to worship him each day of the week and live for him and honor him and glorify him. And that's why we're in the situation we are in the world today, because people are showing up to church and playing church on Sunday morning, and that's all they've ever been taught. Truth allows us to know God and to worship him correctly. Let me say secondly, I could spend all night on each of these, but let me say secondly, would you turn to 1 Kings chapter 18? 1 Kings chapter 18, we're talking about the importance of Bible truth. Man, I like hard preaching. It stretches my back out a little bit. Brother Cade, you can preach next Sunday night if you want to. Huh? We bought the, we got rid of our cable television back in March because I was just tired of paying for it. And so Sarah brought up the idea the other day. She's like, we ought to have Little House on the Prairie. So I bought the series Little House on the Prairie. Mainly because we just like Miss Audie telling us all the time, now that's not what the book said, and she ruins every one of our shows. And I guess because I've been watching Little House on the Prairie this week a little bit, but old Brother Cade came in tonight, and you know, it's been a while since he's kind of had a, you know, he could use a day at the spa, and he walked in, I'm not kidding, he walked in the foyer this morning. I was glad to see him, but I thought, Mr. Edwards. And I don't know where we're going with that, but oh, stretching backs out. Glad you're back, Brother K. We love you. Would never do anything to insult you. But anyways, number two is this. Why do we need to know truth? Number two, truth allows us to pray properly. Truth allows us to know God and to worship him correctly. Truth, number two, allows us to pray properly. Please listen. Many don't know how to pray properly because they just simply do not know Bible truth concerning prayer. I'm not criticizing a lost person, but how many times have you talked to someone And you could just tell talking to their life is a mess. They're living in sin and it's not bothering them, but they'll say something like this. Oh yeah, I talk to God every night. No, they don't. You say, well, God will hear a lost man's prayer. True. He heard Cornelius's prayer, didn't he? In Acts chapter number 10. But I don't believe Cornelius was playing games with God. I believe Cornelius really, truly was seeking after the God of heaven. But you know this crowd today, me and God got a good thing going. I talk to him every night. Every night before I go to bed, I say, God, anything I did bad today, I just want you to forgive me. But if they were taught, they would know that if we confess our sins, plural, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And I think a lot of people are not praying properly because they just simply don't know. They think my life is if I can put a little religion to the end of my day, or oh yeah, me and the big man, me and the man upstairs, me and the, I tell you, and they can't even say Jesus. They could just point to the sky. Hey, Pastor, oh yeah, I know I'm going to heaven. Why? I know I'm going. Listen, I was in the hospital the other day and I was talking to God. And hey, I pray all the time. But you know, on a sad note, I've heard good Christians that are really trying that'll make a statement like this. You know, I don't even know if I should pray. I don't know if God has time for me. I don't know if God hears me. That's kind of silly. I don't know why to ask God that. And friend, listen, all that is, and this is not an insult, it's just a word, but all that is just Bible ignorance. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that we can come, all of us can come boldly as born again children of God, whether you're 6 years old or 16 years old or 86 years old, we can come boldly under the throne of grace. And see, there are a lot of people that are not praying properly because they just simply are not learning what the Bible says about prayer. I know not everyone has a topical book in their office or a treasury of scripture knowledge, all these things that I would use to study, and I get that, and some do. But you know, that's another reason why we have a library, because I want to put trusted books in there on a subject that you might be interested in. Those Cliff's Notes, as we talked about this morning. Truth allows us to pray properly. Elijah dealt with this problem in 1 Kings chapter number 18. Remember the prophets of Baal? I'm going to skip a lot of the story for sake of time, but remember the prophets of Baal? And Elijah said, hey, I want you to call out to your God. And they're crying out to their God. They're praying, if you will. They're even cutting themselves. I mean, they're a mess. Verse 24 says, call ye on the name of your gods. I'll call on the name of the Lord. And verse 27, after they prayed a while to their gods, verse 27, it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking or he's pursuing or he is in a journey or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. They cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. Now they're praying to an unknown god and he is kind of mocking them there. But just simply put, we need to know Bible truth, because all of us want to pray and we need prayer in our life. And truth allows us to pray properly. Well, I just feel like if you pray for an hour every night. Well, nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to pray for an hour every night. Well, when I pray, I do it this way or that. So I just believe that's the way you approach God. I'm glad you want to pray, but the Bible tells us exactly how to pray, exactly how to approach God. And we just have a spiritually ignorant society today. Truth allows us to pray properly. You know what? Elijah knew how to pray properly. Look at verse number 37. He starts praying, hear me, O Lord. Hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. God answered that prayer. I picked up at the end of the prayer there. Verse number 36, the prayer begins. But verse 36 and 37, he's praying. And God did what Elijah asked for him to do. And I'm saying to you tonight, Bible truth is important because truth allows us to know God and to worship Him correctly. And there's a crowd out there today attempting to worship God on their own terms and in their own way, and it just doesn't work that way. And someone says, you know, if you got to do this to reach the teenagers, you got to do that to reach the teenagers. Well, I'll let the high school pep rally reach the teenagers with the high school band. That's all flesh-driven stuff. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit. Spiritual things. Truth allows us to pray properly. And when we know what the Bible teaches about prayer, and can I give you a simple thought? Because some maybe young Christians in here tonight say, man, I just wish I knew. It's just such a big Bible. Hey, if we'll be saved and just stay right with God, be right with God, confess known sin in our life, draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. He will hear your prayer just like He hears the preacher's prayer. Amen. And if I'm living in known sin, I'm not walking with God, even as a child of God, listen, He's not going to hear my prayer any more than He would hear yours. I don't have special access. We're all children of God. It's called the priesthood of the believer. You, my friend, have direct access to God through Jesus Christ, not through the preacher, not through a priest. So you're out there driving your truck down the road this week. You're a child of God. You can talk to God. He hears you. You're a little boy or a little girl in here, and you're riding your bike this week, and you want to pray for mom or dad or grandparents or a friend to be saved or whatever it may be. Listen, young man, young lady, He hears your prayers just like He hears the preacher's prayers. What's sad about this world of religion today is they're making the things of God more difficult than it has to be. Number three is this. The importance of truth. Number three, truth allows us to live in obedience to God and to enjoy His blessings on our life. Truth allows us to live in obedience to God and to enjoy His blessings on our life. How can I obey God if there is not a perfect book to show me how? That's what those folks there in Athens, Greece were doing. They were doing everything they could to make peace with every god that they could think of, but God gives us a Bible that we could follow it, that we could obey it, that we can know how to please Him. How can I obey God if I'm not willing to read His Word and to learn how to obey Him? When you go get a job somewhere, don't they give you some kind of booklet, some kind of, here are the rules? Here's the way, doesn't somebody sit down with you and say, here's what time to show up, and here's what time to go home, and here's what time you can have lunch or take your break, and here's, you know, when we're traveling this week a little bit, when I travel, but you know what, I'm looking at what are the policies concerning that place we're staying. You know what I'm looking for? No smoking. Because if there's any smoking in a hotel, the whole place is going to be smoking, whether you think it is or not. You know what I also look for? No pets. Because I don't want Snickerdoodle that slept in my bed the night before I got there. Yeah, y'all know they don't change all that stuff out. You know what? And I don't want to be charged for something. We had a preacher friend here one time a few years ago, stayed at a hotel. I got a bill a month later for the hotel they stayed in, $250 smoking fee. It was David Grice, you know. No, it wasn't Grice, but I called the preacher friend. I said, man, what are you smoking? He's like, well, brother, nothing. And I said, I got a smoking fee on your hotel bill. He's like, brother, we cooked some bacon in the microwave. And I said, bacon smells good. Bacon does. And it just turns out his wife had some of those scentsy things. So I think the smoking fee was not cigarette smoking that the hotel thought they were doing in there. Probably vaping or that kind of stuff. Now, to be clear with all the kids in here, the preacher man was not vaping or smoking. It was some scentsy plug-in. You ladies and your scents, they're everywhere. Everywhere. Dear Lord. Come to my house, they're everywhere. My wife was preparing a gift for a lady tonight, and I said, give her that whole shelf. Anyways. You know what? I check those hotels out. I want to know what their policy is. I don't want to be charged for something. But why don't we as Christians decide, you know what? I want to be so right with God. I crave knowing what God's Word says. I want to learn the truth. And my illustration is this, without going there, I'm going to skip to the next one here in just a moment. But in 1 Samuel 15, Remember when the man of God, Samuel, told King Saul, he said, I want you to go and I want you to utterly destroy everything involving Amalek, the Amalekites. I want you to destroy everything. And he didn't do it, did he? The reason Saul knew what was right to do was because he had been personally given the words of the Lord. He chose to reject God's commandments, but he at least knew what God said. I'm saying to you tonight, we need to stay in God's word and learn and grow so that we can obey him in every area of our life and thus enjoy God's blessings. Number four is this. Truth allows us to recognize error, no matter how convincing the man or his message is. Truth allows us to recognize, we're talking about the importance of truth. Truth allows us to recognize error, no matter how convincing the man or his message is. I've heard people, I don't think in my presence, but I've seen it on TV. I've seen people speak in tongues on TV, and when you watch it, you're like, how'd they do that? But I know this, the Bible doesn't teach that. So I don't care how convincing it is. I know what the Bible says. I know, number one, the Bible teaches that tongues is not some eclectic utterance. Tongues in the Bible was the ability to speak a language other people were already speaking. God just gave them, those apostles, immediately you had Jews from every nation under God's blue heaven there in Acts chapter 2, and the gift of tongues with those apostles being able to speak the languages of those different countries. So the charismatics are off in and of themselves just because they're not speaking a known language around the world. It's some gibberish. But then also I know that tongues were done away with because tongues is a sign gift that proved that those men of God had the power of God upon their life, had authority from God, and people took notice. We don't need that now. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We'll get to that in just a moment. 1 John chapter number 2 tells us this. So let me reiterate. Learning the Word of God, learning Bible truth. Truth allows us to recognize error no matter how convincing the man or his message is. I'm amazed at what people fall for. You listening? I'm amazed. I am amazed that people could fall for a Kenneth Copeland. I am amazed that people could fall for a Jesse Duplantis. Powerful preacher, a raging Cajun in the sense of just his preaching style. But friend, he yokes up with a Kenneth Copeland type guy. And then when they ask him the other day, or I saw something, I don't know where I saw this clip, or somebody sent it to me, and Duplantis says, yeah, somebody asked me, aren't you a millionaire? And he said, no, multi. And people will continue to send money to that stuff. And I'm surprised that people will fall for someone like a Paula White or a Joyce Myers. You know what we need to get back to? The local church. You know what we need to get back to? We need to get back to, let's stop being spoon-fed by the shows. And just get our lamp and get in our chair and sit there and just read the Word of God. And in the New Testament, it's pretty plain. God just lays it out for us. But in the Old Testament, let's read it and say, God, give me spiritual. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Help me to see the spiritual application here, not just the story, but what's the application in my life? And I promise you, the Spirit of God will teach you, will lead you and guide you into all truth. Truth allows us to recognize error, no matter how convincing the man or his message is. You say, preacher, honestly, I saw this preacher. He blew on these people and they fell over. I would too. Most preachers have coffee breath. You say, you don't believe that's true? You don't believe in faith healers? No, I do not. Why? Because it's done away with. Well, they were able to heal. That's what I mentioned this morning in the book of Acts. If you're not careful, you'll read a book of the Bible and you'll take everything out of that and say, that's true today. It's just simply not. One time someone said, what's that guy, Benny Hinn, I think is his name. You got to be careful, you'll call him Benny Hill. Oh, Benny Hinn, faith healer. And one time he had to cancel they were going to interview him, and he had to cancel the interview because he had laryngitis. I'm not trying to upset anyone tonight. I'm saying we're in a confused world. We just need to get back to the Bible. 1 John 2 says this. Just listen to some scriptures here in verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And God says this, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, them that lead you astray. Again, let me just give you a chapter to read on your own, because I've got to land a plane here. I have one more point in just a moment. But you go read 1 Kings chapter number 13. And let me give you the gist of the passage. God told his preacher, the man of God, God told his preacher, you go and you tell the king this. This is a message. But you don't have bread with the king. You don't have drink with the king. You don't accept gifts from the king. And the king was healed of his leprosy. And the king said, hey, man of God, come with me. Come have lunch at my house. And the man of God said, I can't, because God told me don't do that. And then the next thing you know, there was an old prophet that came to this man of God and say, hey, come with me to my house. And the man of God said, I can't. God told me exactly what to do. The man of God said, oh, God spoke to me too. And the man of God probably thought, well, he's an older man of God. He's got to be right, because he's an older man of God. And he's, you know, so I guess it must be true. And he went back with him. Long story short, that young man of God wound up dead. Truth allows us to recognize error, no matter how convincing the man or his message is. 1 John 4:1 says this, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, examine them, prove them, test them, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says this. He said, I saw the Lord. He walked with him, of course. He said, I heard the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He said, I saw Christ. I saw Jesus. He said, I heard the voice of God. Then he says this, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. The word sure means more certain, more unfailing. If Peter said that, listen, it does not matter what I see on TV. It does not matter what I've experienced in my life. It doesn't matter what seems. We had somebody one time used to come to our church, and every once in a while they would investigate the Catholic Church, and they would say this, I just feel like I've been to church. Because there was a ceremony, because there was a ritual going on. Everything they did was contrary to the more sure words. So I'm saying to you, just because we see something, hear something, experience something, grew up around something, doesn't make it right. What does the Bible say? The truth, the importance of truth. Truth allows us to know God, to worship Him properly. Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to know that I'm worshiping God 7 days a week? I'm walking with God. I mean, can we not agree tonight that there are so many people out there, their mindset is that they're okay with God because they have church on Sunday morning. And it does not matter how they live their life the rest of the week. That's contrary to Scripture. Truth allows us to pray properly. You know how we need prayer. Don't be afraid of prayer as a child of God. It's not some 10-step program. God wants to hear from His children just like we want to hear from our children. Truth allows us to pray properly. Truth allows us to live in obedience to God and to enjoy His blessings on our life. Truth allows us to recognize error, no matter how convincing the man, by the way, or the woman. You say, what's wrong with the woman preacher on TV? There are no women preachers. Can a woman give a lesson? Yeah, you ladies went to ladies seminar. Some of you didn't get it. You had to go back this weekend to another ladies seminar. I know the group that went, man, I'm glad, but no. But if somebody calls himself Preacher Paula White, Not here to get into a discussion. I think Paula White's the one that halfway split the Southern Baptist Convention. But she wanted to be a pastor, and some of them actually were conservative enough, biblical enough, to say a lady can't be a pastor. That is not taught in the Word of God. You know what so many are doing today? My Bible's getting old, so I don't want to do it. I wouldn't want to throw the Bible anyways, but you know what so many are doing today? That's not the day and age in which we live. The Bible doesn't change. Neither should we. Truth allows us to pray properly, allows us to live in obedience to God, allows us to recognize error, no matter how convincing the man or his message is. I am not trying to upset folks tonight. Trying to help you. The final one is this. Look at Acts chapter number 18. Acts chapter number 18. Truth allows us to believe correctly and to teach correctly. Truth allows us to believe correctly and to teach correctly. Because you see, it doesn't matter what we've always believed. It matters what the Bible says. If there's areas in our life where we need to be corrected, we need to be corrected because we need to be able to pass it on down to our kids. My mother was raised Catholic. She went to Catholic school. I'm glad she got saved as a young adult. I'm glad she got in her Bible and found out the truth, what God's Word actually teaches. And I'm glad I wasn't taught the errors of the Catholic Church as a young man. Truth allows us to believe correctly and to teach correctly. Look at Acts chapter 18. Verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, don't miss this, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Mighty in the scriptures, had a pretty good Bible knowledge. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So, okay, he was mighty in the scriptures that he knew. He was instructed in the way of the Lord according to scriptures that he knew, but he was limited in his Bible knowledge. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla, husband and wife, had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. You see what happened there? He knew the Bible. Here's what we all have to be willing to do, be corrected by the Bible. By the way, I said there are no women preachers, no women pastors. There are not in the Bible, not in the New Testament churches. But I heard a preacher say this one time. This preacher's in jail today. But I heard a preacher say this one time, ain't no woman ever going to teach me Bible doctrine. I didn't say a lady can't teach a man Bible doctrine. You had a husband and wife there who sat down with some kind of newer preacher and said, you have a good knowledge of the Bible. Let us help you along a little bit further. Is that you tonight? Are you willing to take the Bible and learn and grow? And let me say this, you cannot teach what you do not know. The old saying, we need to get in the book so the book can get in us. I had it written down here. I'm not going to read it, but I had it written down here. Several places in 1 and 2 Timothy where the Bible talks about doctrine, sound word, sound doctrine, correct doctrine, right doctrine. Here's one good reason why we need to learn and grow and make sure that we are lining up with the Bible. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The same commit. In this world of man-made religion and fleshly, sensual worship, let me challenge you as a child of God, learn your Bible. Learn your Bible. In a world of doubt and fear and confusion, let's learn the Word of God. People have told me this several times in recent months. Good Christians, well, I don't see it the same way as you. We could just agree to disagree. Friend, listen. Again, God is not the author of confusion. We need to get in the Bible. The world of doubt and fear and confusion, Let's learn the Word of God. Let's live it so that we can live with certainty and hope while the world is confused. They're doubting everyone and everything. You and I can keep our head up because we're doing it God's way. Bible doctrine is important. What the Bible teaches does matter. But let me challenge you tonight to be as the Berean Christians were in Acts 17, who search the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Hey, get in your Bible. Remember this. I heard this phrase probably 10 or 12 years ago, and I wrote it in the front of my Bible. Truth discovered is truth retained. Truth discovered is truth retained. We cannot live based on just what we've always seen, what we've always heard, what we've always believed. We need to get in the Bible, and we need to find out, is what I believe true? And if not, let's let the Word of God correct us. Why? Because Bible doctrine is very important, very important, very important in our life.